Let's pray. Lord, we've been in your presence. We've been enjoying singing to you, giving you praise, exalting your name. Lord, we've even been privileged to give as you've prompted us to. And now with no less enthusiasm, we open up your word. We never want to take for granted that you've preserved for us this reliable revelation, your will. And so, Lord, we eagerly want to drink from your word today. And we want to ask, as we often do, that you'll make us different, forever different, because of how you apply this word to each of our hearts. We ask in the name of Jesus, amen. Please join me in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we continue this series of messages on prayer that we're calling Pray This Way. This is the fourth part. So if you've missed anything here, you can go online and listen to or watch the messages to hear what we've been doing. And I pray you will. I hope you will, because I'm asking God to change us as a church in response to his word, that we would be more and more men and women of prayer forever till Christ comes back in response to his word. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, that model prayer that Jesus gave us, and really just putting it on ourselves. We should pray this way. What have we seen? We've seen that we should come into the presence of God very God-centered. That's how we ought to start, consumed with who he is and his great name that we just sang about, and his kingdom and his will. Here's how Jesus talked about it. Remember this? Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we're starting out in God's presence. Lord, this is all about you. I've got a lot of needs and concerns I'm going to bring, but my preeminent thought is about your glory and your name. You should be worshipped. Your name should be set apart. There's nobody like you. And Lord, I'm not about building my kingdom. I'm done with that. I want your kingdom to advance on the earth until you bring it in its fullness. And Lord, I want you to reign over my life. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus, that's how we ought to go into prayer. That's how we ought to stay in prayer. That's our mindset. But then we're invited to bring our personal needs. Aren't you glad? Because then the prayer continues, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here Jesus transitions, not leaving behind the greatness of God, but now bring your needs. Bring your personal physical needs, your bread, your need for bread. And bring your spiritual needs. Lord, I need forgiveness. I even need help forgiving other people. And I need help with the temptations that are plentiful. We'll look at those things next week. But notice, God does invite his children to ask for help. You say, I already know that. No, do you really know that, though? Do you really know what a big deal that is, that God in all of his greatness has time for you? He's inviting you to bring the stuff that's on your mind into his presence. It really should be no surprise, because he did say he is our Father in heaven. God is awesome and he cares for us. In Matthew 7, we read this, speaking of his fatherhood of us and how he cares. Matthew 7 tells us, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Listen to this. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God invites you to bring your needs to him. We find the same thing in 1 Peter 5, 7, maybe one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. Cast all your cares upon him. Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. God's saying, load me up. Go ahead and bring the concerns, bring your needs. I'm not telling you to keep those away. I'm asking you to bring those to me. So it's no surprise that the Lord would say this to us if God is our Father. But also notice this, it's not unspiritual to ask. You ever met somebody who sounded spiritual and they say something like this? You know, I don't really want to pray for my needs. That would be selfish. I'm just going to spend my time praying for others. And it sounds good. But have you ever noticed how subtle pride is? It's one of the toughest battles to fight in your Christian life, because just when you think you've got it and you want to brag about having humility, well, now there's pride creeping up. But here, this is a little bit unusual. Listen, I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to bring my needs before God. That's a problem. That's like saying, you know, I don't really need help. There are others in the world who need help, but I'm not one of those that happens to be in need. That's a problem. Two ways that's a big problem. First of all, it's insulting to God. It's like saying, I don't think God can handle my problems on top of all the other big things he's facing. It's if God's going to hear your request thinking, oh, great. I was running the world fine. I had everything going in all the continents. And then Jim brought his request. It all just spun out of control after that. I couldn't manage it. Listen, you're not doing God any favors when you don't bring a need. You're actually displaying that there's some misunderstanding of who God is. He can handle whatever you make. I understand so others might have bigger problems at times. But listen, he tells you, bring your request. Give us this day our daily bread. It also reveals a complete misunderstanding of your level of need. You need him every moment, for every breath, for every heartbeat. We need the Lord, and we should be coming to him in a posture of neediness. Lord, I need you to meet my needs. When we do that, even when we're saying, I don't have as big a needs as others right now, God is taking care of me. But when you continue to say, Lord, I still need you. Today, I need you to take care of me. You're acknowledging that he is your provider. If you're not asking, you're subtly beginning to think, I got this. I am my own provider through my own work and through what I'm doing. I am my own provider. Here's what I know. If you don't ask much, I bet you don't thank much either. You know? So if you're not in that posture of, I need you, God. I need you to come through for me. Lord, if you don't take my life and lead me, I don't know how this is going to work out. If you're not in that posture, then you're not going to be giving thanks because you think you're the one that's making it all happen. So listen, the Lord says to come and bring your needs before him. Come humbly. Come confidently. God is expecting you. He's invited you. And did you notice here? Actually, he even commanded you. Jesus, pray this way. Not just some people, all of us. Lord, we want your glory, we want your kingdom, and Lord, please provide for us. We're commanded to do it. We find it in other places like Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is what's wonderful about that. The Lord cares for you. He will willingly and gladly have you bring these requests to him. Listen, you're not being spiritual if you take this attitude. You know, I don't pray about the physical stuff. I just pray about the spiritual stuff. Listen, it's the Lord who made you physical. He knows that you need him to supply what you need on the physical plane. I've had temptations like this in the past where I thought, I don't want to pray anymore about illnesses and sicknesses. I want to pray more about salvation and missions. And then I'm reminded about the life of Jesus. When Jesus was living on the earth, he spent a lot of time touching and healing people. Yes, on his way to the cross to provide salvation, an opportunity for the whole world. So yes, the spiritual looming large, but he never neglected to care for the physical and the financial, even raising people from the dead. Here we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at this Lord's Prayer. As you go deeper into Matthew 6, we find this in verse 25. Jesus talking about how your needs really are important to God. Says this, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor your body as to what you'll put on. But listen, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you can be, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Jesus isn't saying, hey, stop thinking about food and clothing because it's not important. He says, your Father, he knows this. He's working on this. He feeds them, and you're worth more to him than the birds. Well, listen, he goes on in this part here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Same idea. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Listen, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Not that you don't really need those. That's unspiritual. No, your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry, but do talk to God about the things that concern you and your needs. So we're told to bring this request. What does he say specifically we're to ask for when we're asking for our needs? He says, he uses the phrase daily bread. What does that mean? Why did Jesus choose that phrase when we're bringing our needs? Why do you use this to say, hey, bring your request for daily bread? Well, bread represents all that's essential in a life. It's your needs and it's your necessities. In their culture, in the Jewish culture, bread was critical. In every home, every day, they're going to be making bread. They're going to be having bread at every meal. Now, even in our own culture, to a lesser extent, we've in the past talked about how bread is the staff of life, or it's one of our staples. In fact, we're coming up on the fall soon, and then the weatherman's going to start talking about these snow scares, and we all have that short list when the man says it might snow. And bread always makes the top three, right? Milk, bread, and eggs. Even if we don't normally eat those things much, it's like it's a snowstorm, and bread makes a short list. It really is one of those things we feel like I can probably make it if I just have bread. Hey, even to a greater degree, when we lived in Central Asia for several years, we found that they had what they called a reverence for bread. Never heard of such a thing. They honored bread. I found this out the first meal I went to with a number of these Central Asian men. We're sitting there at a table, and they're serving bread, because bread's at every meal. And so the deal is they break off these big hunks of bread, they hand you a hunk of it, and then as you're through the meal, you'll break off some bread and eat it. So sometimes you pick up two hands, you take some, eat it, you set the bread down. Well, I found out there's such a thing as upside down on bread. Growing up in America, I didn't think it mattered if I set the bread down this way or that way. It made no difference. It bugged the guy next to me. Every time I set down my bread to him upside down, he reached over and flipped my bread over. Thinking, get your hands off my bread, you know. No, not really. I'm realizing I'm in a different culture, and somehow this is bugging him, and so I don't know what I've done yet, because I don't know the concept of upside down with bread. And so I take another bite, and I eat some of the other food, but as soon as I set my bread down, the guy flips it back over again. And start cluing in, okay, there's something about that. But then you just live in the culture a while, you realize, wow, they really do. They reverence bread. In fact, if you drop bread, that's a bad thing. They consider that desecrating bread. And so if they see a stray piece of bread on the ground that's alarming, they'll pick it up and kiss it a few times and set it up on a post. You just can't have it on the ground. In fact, they can't throw away bread. It's okay to feed it to an animal. It's kind of like the American flag here. You can't just throw it in the trash. You got to have some reverence. They're that way about bread. In fact, they used to have this statement, if you respect bread, you'll never go hungry. Respecting bread. Well, that's somewhere different than the way we look at it. But here, Jesus knew that bread was important to the Jewish culture. And that's why he even used the phrase about himself. He said to them, I'm the bread of life. For us, we're like, bread, I can take it or leave it. When Jesus spoke of himself on other occasions, I'm the bread of life, it's like, I am the greatest necessity in your life. You can't imagine life without me. But here Jesus said, I want you to bring this request to the Father because he loves you. Give us this day our daily bread. It's an invitation to bring your essential needs, not just food, but all your essential needs to your loving Father. Aren't you glad? And our needs seem so much more plentiful than that, don't they? Lord, I do need bread. I need clothes. They just wear out. I don't want to be worried about it, but they just wear out. And I don't want to worry about transportation, but good gracious, I got to get around. And so I need tires, and I need an oil change, and I need a new engine, and all these things come up. And I think this is what God's saying. Bring those very real physical needs to me because I care for you. Some have said this refers to the necessities of life, not the niceties of life. Some have said this means bring your needs but not your greed, and there's a lot of truth to that, right? However, I would say this, don't obsess about it on the front end. Going to the Lord in prayer is a great time to sort that out. Lord, I don't know, is this a want? Is this a need? I can't figure this out. Hey, it's a great place to go into the presence of the Lord, especially when you're consumed with his glory and his kingdom and his will on earth and in your life. It's a great time to say, and now, Lord, I want to bring this before you. You'll probably see a little more clearly where that fits. But you say, well, here, I'm putting this out there. You're my Father. You do what you see best in my life. I'm bringing these wants. I'm bringing these needs. And I'm trusting you, Lord, to take care of it. Here's the good news. Here we are. All of us are here. None of us missed it today. We're here. Which means God has provided for us all these years leading up to now. But I bet all of us can look back over our lives and think of times when we didn't think we were going to make it. Can you think of those times? When you were frightened, maybe frightened financially, you didn't know, how are we going to get out of this jam? I don't see it. Some of you right now are in that. I don't know how it's going to work out next week. I don't know. But here's what I want you to do for a moment. Just look back and you think of some of those scary times in your life. I can think of some in my life right now where Joy and I didn't know how will this work out? I'm not really sure. But then we look around, I'm here. I made it. The Lord supplied the daily bread and met needs in a lot of different ways. And listen, that gives us confidence as we look forward to an uncertain future from a physical standpoint and go, listen, if God brought me this far, I'm confident he's going to continue to provide for me. I may not know how, but I'm making this request to him. God, continue to provide for me this daily bread. Here's another beautiful thing about the Lord calling us to pray for daily bread. It kind of limits the scope of our worry, doesn't it? Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes on this. So he talks about daily. We don't really like daily, do we? If I'm going to pray about my needs, I usually don't think just today. I'm usually thinking stuff like this, and you probably too. Lord, I pray that you'll prosper me to a degree that I don't have to worry about things anymore. I don't want just today. That's because I'll be concerned again tomorrow. So Lord, just load me up. Give me an abundance so that I can focus on other things. I don't want to be materialistic. I just don't want to worry. We might rather pray this than daily bread. Set me up for life. Load up that account so full that I just never have to worry. Somebody else can handle my money for me. Well, that'd be nice. But Jesus says, I want you thinking daily. We say, no, I don't want daily bread. I want my pantry full. I want my refrigerator stock full. I want that freezer full. I'd even like to have another freezer full. And I'd like the bank account and any kind of retirement account. I want them full. And Jesus said, I might do that for some of you. But what I want you doing is praying for your daily bread. You know, I don't want to scare you, but even if you had a freezer full, refrigerator full, there are some things that could happen where all that's kind of gone like that, right? You think, I've got my confidence in Whirlpool or Kenmore, and I'm trusting. But you can't control weather and what's going to happen. You say, I'm set. My confidence is in my pantry. You might be one of those doomsday preppers. You ever watch Doomsday Preppers on TV? You can find it on Netflix, I think. And I got food for 2 years down here in my bunker. I got my confidence in my stash. Maybe bad place to put your confidence. Or I got enough money laid up for retirement. I could live 3 lifetimes. Not me, by the way. But it's a bad place to have your confidence. Just things could happen to where all that you've laid up, not going to be enough, right? You ever heard of something called hyperinflation? Don't want to scare us. He says, don't worry. But a bad place to put your confidence. Jesus, I'm trusting in you. And even if I think I have a lot, I'm trusting in you for daily bread. I'm going to keep my gaze locked in on you. I need you. It's interesting. Jesus had to be thinking about manna when he talked about this. In Exodus 16, we read about how the Lord himself chose to feed the children of Israel with bread on the ground every morning. They were out in the wilderness, couldn't provide for themselves. And what an amazing thing God chose to do. I'm going to give you daily bread on the ground, like dew in the morning. In fact, remember this? He told them, only take enough for that day. But some of them weren't obeying. They took some for extra days. They got in that hoarding instinct. I'm going to take more. And anything they took beyond what they could eat spoiled by the next day. God wanted them to trust me every day. In fact, that's why God did that, don't you think? Because there had to be more efficient ways of him feeding a multitude. All right, I'll set you up with a warehouse, and we're going to stockpile month by month. I will do the miracle of giving you bread. But he wanted them to make the connection. Every day, God's providing for me. We see his hand. This is amazing. Who's ever heard of bread on the ground every day? And here it is. It is enough for us. We're going to trust in God. God may choose to work in your life in the same degree. You wish you had the abundance where you weren't worried about it, but you are, and you're going, okay, that's okay. God said it could be this way. He's providing for me. And so come into his presence. Bring your needs before him. What does it mean practically to ask for daily bread? Well, it may be I don't have to worry about it daily, but maybe it's like a lot of people. It's weekly. I think it's another way of saying, Lord, get me through to my next paycheck. Get me through. You ever been there? You feel like if you get paid every week, it's like the weeks are too long. I don't have enough money. The weeks are straight. Or month. You get paid monthly. The month is too long. I wish they'd shorten the month so I could get paid sooner. Joy remembers growing up, her dad was paid, I think it's monthly. And so she could tell when the end of the month was coming because dad might have gotten a little testier. And then, and the meals got a little simpler, a little more creative, but simple. She says she knew she was getting near the end of the month when they started having mackerel cakes. So the can of mackerel, she actually liked it growing up. She was the youngest of 7. I think it was when she got a little older, she realized, it's probably means money's running out when we get there. But Lord, I'm counting on you to meet the needs of our lives. So here's the last question. How does God then provide? He lovingly invites us into his presence, bring the requests to me. I care about your needs. They're not unimportant. They're not unspiritual. Bring them. And then how does God choose to provide for us when we pray, give me my daily bread. Well, you know, he can do miracles. Don't you love that? That's why we pray, by the way. We don't want to become so natural and secular in our thinking that we forget, oh yeah, we pray to a God who can suspend the laws of nature and he can supply me. You remember Jesus in his ministry? He fed 5,000 with just a few pieces of bread and a few fish. 5,000 people, the food just kept going and going and going. He did it on another occasion and fed 4,000 plus the women and children. It's amazing what he did. I enjoyed rereading this morning Elijah the prophet and how he was provided for miraculously. Remember, he had called for the drought, and there was this drought. God gave this dramatic answer to prayer. And then it says this in 1 Kings chapter 17, that God commanded ravens to bring him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. The first one, I don't know that I'd want to eat meat that a bird brought me. But he knew. This is what God said. I'm going to provide for you. I have commanded ravens to bring you meat and bread in the morning. And it happened. And also in the evening. So twice a day, he's being fed by birds. God can choose to provide for us in miraculous ways, even when we can't see how it might happen. If you keep reading in 1 Kings 17, after that miracle of an ongoing period of time, then he says, all right, I want you now to go, and I've commanded a widow to take care of you. And you might remember that story. The widow was about to die. She and her boy, we don't have much food left. And Elijah shows up, and he says, make me something to eat. We don't have anything. This is our last meal. Go ahead, trust me. Make something for me to eat. And what God did was a miracle where her flour never ran out and her oil didn't run out so that they were able to be provided for a long period of time. God can choose in our lives to provide for us in miraculous ways. It's good news. But typically, God chooses to provide for us through work. And we say, is there any other way? Can we go back to the miracle? But we just being honest, we look in the scripture, it pleases God that we would work. Now, it doesn't negate our faith, because what happens with our work, we stay in this posture, God, give me my daily bread. Lord, you'll have to meet my needs. It's not that, okay, I leave faith now and I go to work. No, I recognize even in my working, God, if it weren't for you giving me the opportunity, I couldn't have this job. If you haven't given me the opportunities maybe to get some education, get some skills built into my life in some ways where I could do this job. So God, I give you credit for providing for me by your choice through this job. In fact, Scripture says you can't get so spiritual where you go, well, I'm just going to sit here and trust God to do a miracle. I could work, but I won't work. I'm more spiritual than that. The Bible calls that something lazy. And in the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about the sluggard. He's too lazy to lift his hand up from his dish. Oh, it'd be a lot of work if I had to feed myself. No, we work. And God sets you up, gives you the opportunity so that you can work and provide for yourself, but giving him glory all along. We have a family in our church going through a particularly difficult time, and the dad of that family has been trying hard to provide. He's been doing nobly, and recently he's recognized, I need a second job. I need a second job. And so part of his praying for God to supply for his family is, God, would you give me a second job? He's praying for it, and some of you were praying for him, and this past week he got his second job. And so he's already started working two jobs. In fact, if right now, if you think about him, would you pray for energy and strength? It's not how we normally want this to work. We'd like to have one job that provides enough, or I don't have to go do a second one, but don't you admire him? In fact, I just, in my time of praying for him, my heart, I have such admiration for him, don't you? I'm not just going to sit back. God, I am asking for miracles. I need a miracle from you, but I'm going to work as you supply the work, and even give me a second job, and I'm going to trust you for the energy to do it. I sent him a text this week and said, listen, you inspire me. And God is being glorified in your life as you work, as God supplies the work. How wonderful. So God can supply as we pray for our daily bread through miracles. So thankful for that. And through work that he supplies, but also through charity, right? Through the compassion of others. That's often how God chooses to answer this prayer. He's going to nudge this person's heart to open up what he's given them. He's given them an abundance so that they can share with those who are in need. Notice here in the wording, this whole prayer is in the plural. You know, give us this day our daily bread. We're in this together, right? I don't just care about my family. Give me mine, and I don't care about them. No, Lord, give us. That's why we care so much when somebody in the church family or somebody in our blood families, when they're hurting, say, I'm not okay with that. I can't help everybody, but I want to. And so God has designed that he will move his people to respond to needs. Maybe when work's not available, or maybe somebody's disabled and they can't, that God's people will look around and respond to his Spirit's prompting to answer that prayer through God's people. It's a wonderful thing. And you and I can do the same thing. I look back in my life. when I was on the receiving end of the compassion of others. Maybe a family member saw the need. I didn't want people to know. I didn't want to be complaining or whatever. I think some of it was a sinful pride. I should have made the need known, but sometimes didn't want to. Doesn't feel good to do that. But some family members being perceptive kind of knew, and help came at some key times in our lives, and just very emotional. And you recognize God did that, stirring their hearts to meet a need that we had. Other times somebody in the church in earlier years, other places, see a need that we were having, and we're going to take care of that for you. What? The hand of God moving. Last week, by the way, you did this. Last week, we made the need known that we needed some increased giving to our benevolence fund. That's that small fund of money that we use to help with needs in the church family when somebody runs into one of these crises we're talking about, and just made the need known. And you still have an opportunity, by the way, to give to that, and the instructions are in your bulletin, how to mark your check. But already, though, that first Sunday we mentioned it, a good bit of money came in. And I was just thrilled. But there you are, being responsive to the Spirit of God to help others is how God's going to meet the need. That's why we also put before ourselves, even in our offering envelopes, the hunger fund, an opportunity to be an answer to somebody's prayer. Lord, we want to fund that so that IMB missionaries around the world can take that and be a part of feeding programs and all kinds of things. Baptist Global Response and IMB directly giving like that is wonderful. And even though you and I don't often think about, well, I don't know where my next meal is coming from, do you know there are people right here in Richmond who do have that very concern? I don't know what I'm going to eat today. There's nothing in the cabinets. And that's why you have already started responding to Johnson Elementary School. You know that, right? You gave a lot of school supplies. You already started giving these healthy snacks. Here's the plan behind that, in case you missed it. The plan behind that is we're providing as a church, and I suppose some others might as well, but I think we're the primary donors of this, healthy foods for about 15 of the kids who the school counselors and everything suspect that there's not much to eat at home when school's not in session. So the breakfast they get's good food, lunch is good food, and when the weekend comes, they're concerned. We don't know that they're getting any nutrition. And so the plan is, they're called a backpack club. They're not going to embarrass the kids. Hopefully the rest of the kids won't ever know, but they'll cycle by the guidance counselor's office. The food you provide is going to be put in a baggie and dropped in their backpack very discreetly and send them on their way. The idea that they're going to have something to eat, daily bread, God prompting you to be generous so that other people can be fed. This is God at work, and this is how God provides. So here's my prayer for us, that we would be so spiritually sensitive that we'd be on the lookout to see needs, and that then also being full of the Spirit of God, that we would be motivated when we see a need to respond appropriately with generosity when the Holy Spirit guides us to do so. So let's pray, and let's be a part of the answer to prayer and other people's lives. Just another observation before we close. And that's this: it's no fun to be in need, is it? It's not fun. We'd much rather be set up, as we talked about earlier, and not have these concerns. But when we have these concerns, we need to recognize that we're not alone in these, and that God's even at work when we feel like we're in a time of lack. And there are lessons to be learned in a time of lack. And many of us have found this to be true, that your faith can actually grow rapidly when you're in this adventure of not knowing in advance how it's going to work out. Isn't it true? Haven't you found that to be true? That God can use this even to toughen you up spiritually. When you think, I didn't know it could be this hard. I thought he would always supply abundantly. And you hear all the weird TV preachers telling you that you could get more money faster and bigger. And you go, wait a minute. And he can toughen you up as you go through this. You can learn through a time of financial lack to fight and overcome the temptation to jealousy, can't you? Because that's one of the big ones that looms large. Why is God giving them so much and I'm struggling here? I'm being faithful. Why don't I have what they have? And you realize that's sinful thinking. Why am I worried about what they have? God, if it pleases you, give them a whole bunch more. Double everything they have. I don't care about that. I'm not jealous of them. Lord, just provide for me. You can fight and win in this ongoing battle. Also, you can experience humility and greater gratitude as the Lord supplies. In fact, Paul found this to be true. Real quickly, in Philippians 4. One of the most famous passages in the Bible, but notice the context here in the context of need. Paul says, I learned some things from my times of need. Same things we need to learn. Paul says this in Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak from want. Listen, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. There it is. I know how to get along in humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled, listen, and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. How? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Oh, I don't like lack. I wish it'd be over now. But God, you can teach me some things. And here's the big thing. I need you and your strength. More than a full bank account, more than a full pantry, I need you. I need your strength. And I want to walk with you. So here's the question. Are you praying? Are you praying? This is the context. We're in the Lord's Prayer. How should we pray? God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will, and our needs we bring in there into the mix, knowing he wants to hear. Are you praying? Please don't just tuck this away. Well, that was good. We'll come back next week for the next installment. Let's pray. Let's avail ourselves of this great opportunity to be in his loving presence and lay it all before him. And then let me remind us of this. We need more than just bread from him. We need him. We need everlasting life. And so you might be here today and you're resonating with everything that we've been talking about. Yes, I need him. I've got lots of needs. I'm sick. I'm broke. I need help. Listen, let me tell you, you have a need even bigger than that. And it's for Jesus himself. You need him to be your Savior and Lord. This past Friday, we had a group of people go downtown to share the gospel again. In fact, we would encourage you to, if you want to know more about that, to let us know. Dustin McElduff and Gilbert here, they would love to tell you about it. I've gone out with them before. It's a beautiful thing. But they gave a report of how it went this past Friday night, just this weekend. And I enjoyed reading that and praying along with them for people who heard the gospel. One of them was interesting, and one of them was very common, unfortunately. They shared the riches of the gospel with a young man and how to be saved and how Jesus can wash your sins away, adopt you into the family. You know, the good news, how you can have everlasting life. And then they gave the opportunity, would you like to ask Jesus to be your Savior? And I said, not really, no. But I would like prayer that I'd get over this cold. Aren't we like that? People are like that. I don't really want God himself. I'm not so interested in being forgiven and giving my life under the leadership of somebody else. But I would like a little help from him from time to time. And right now I got a nagging cold. You don't want to be that way, do you? Sounds weird when you hear it in somebody else. We don't want to be that way. Lord, I do need bread. I do need help. I do need a job. Beyond all that, you're offering me adoption? So that I can bring my request to you? You're offering me everlasting life? Oh, don't miss out on that. Call on Jesus to forgive you and to save you. Let's pray together. Lord, you are so gracious that you would be mindful of us at all is beautiful and amazing. And then even our needs, the ones that sometimes we might assess as small, the ones that we might assess as huge, we're so glad you've invited us, even commanded us to bring those into your presence. We want to do so more faithfully so that we might more easily recognize you are our loving provider and it's not just us doing this for ourselves. Lord, we recognize you are the one giving us our daily bread. You're the one that holds the future in your hands. So Lord, make us people who don't worry but who trust you and faithfully bring the requests before you. And then Lord, I pray for those around the room who are contemplating their relationship with you, not just what they need but the fact that they need you. I pray that you'll open their eyes and open their hearts to not just seek what you can give them materially, but Lord, also the forgiveness, the adoption, the everlasting life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.